Brothers and sisters, would you turn in your Bibles, please, to Psalm 16. If you're able, when you're ready, would you please stand for the reading of God's holy and inspired word, Psalm 16, verse 9. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my whole being rejoices. My flesh also dwells secure. For you will not abandon my soul to Sheol, or let your Holy One see corruption. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. And then would you turn over to John chapter 20. Now, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early, while it was still dark, and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." So Peter went out with the other disciple, and they were going toward the tomb. Both of them were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. And stooping to look in, he saw the linen cloths lying there, but he did not go in. And Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen cloths lying there, and the face cloth which had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture, that he must rise from the dead. And the disciples went back to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. And as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They've taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and that he said these things to her. Amen to the reading of God's word. Let's pray. Lord, our God, we rejoice this morning that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. We thank you that he is alive and that he lives in the power of an endless life. And now we pray this morning that the Lord Jesus, by his Spirit, would speak to each and every one of us, that you would speak to us, our God, that you'd do a mighty work within us. We pray that you'd be exalted in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Last year, we studied Solomon's sermon, Ecclesiastes, and we noted that again and again and again he came back to the same words. He came back to a particular word over 40 times, and you know that the word is not all at the same time, just one at a time. Hevel. The word is hevel. Hevel, hevel. All is hevel. Now that word is sometimes translated vanity. And if you weren't careful, you would think that that means that Solomon is saying that everything is meaningless. But that's simply not true. The word hevel means a breath or a vapor. He's not saying that everything is meaningless. He is saying that everything is fleeting. And I gave the example as we looked at the book of Ecclesiastes of our dog Moby Dykes, you remember. How when he's in the back garden, he comes up to the windows and the French doors and he puts his nose right up against the window. He smudges the window. How he takes his muddy paw and paws the window to let us know that he wants in the house. And I told you that Ash has her own wee bottle, the squish bottle. She lets him in and then she squishes the window and cleans the window. Now that squish, that's what Solomon is saying life is like. That's what generations are like. That's what individuals' lives are like. That's what your life is like. It's just a squish. Your life will be over before you know it. Now, after the squish, what do we have? We have the grave. Perhaps you've been to a funeral. Perhaps you've looked down into the grave. And if you're like me, you can't help but think, that's going to be me one day. Pastor Steve mentioned earlier, with 100 years, probably all of us will have been lowered into a grave. And we ask ourselves the question, am I ready for that? Am I ready to look the grave in the eye? So we have the squish, we have the grave, and then for some people, there's hell. Now, hell has become a joke. People scorn this idea. Hell, yeah, we'll all go there and have a party one day. But I'm telling you this morning, it's not funny. This is a serious thing. This is what the Bible teaches, that hell is an eternal reality, that it's a place of weeping, that it's a place of incineration. Jesus calls it Gehenna, that place where the dung of the city was taken outside the city and burnt. Gehenna. It's described in the Bible as a lake of fire. That's what it is. It's a lake of fire. It's the place where God isn't absent, but he is there with undiluted wrath. Not that we blame God. God sent his Son into the world that whoever believes in him would not perish but have eternal life. Those who go to hell go there because they choose to go there. And that's what we're left with. The squish, the grave, and the lake. And we don't like to think about them. I don't like to mention these things this morning, but this is what the Bible teaches. This is reality. At some point, your heart will stop beating. And I'm asking you this morning, are you ready? Are you ready to die? Are you ready for eternity? Now, the last chapter, John chapter 19, we read there of Jesus' death and his burial, that Jesus, when he died on the cross, when he was dying on that cross, he experienced hell. He was burning without burning, as it were. When the spikes went through his hands and his feet, he didn't cry out. When he was laying there suffocating in agony, he didn't cry out. But when the darkness came, when he waded into the lake of fire, then he cried out. It was the lake of fire. It was the torment beyond our comprehension. And he died. He stopped breathing. His body became limp and lifeless. Perhaps you've seen a dead body. You know what it looks like, where that person is there, but they're not there. The thing that makes them is gone. Their soul is gone. Jesus' soul was gone. He had went to be with the Lord. So he's able to say to the thief, "Today you will be with me in paradise." And his body was taken down. We can only imagine them taking the spikes out of his hands and his feet. Maybe they had to hammer them from behind. I don't know. But he was taken down and laid in the grave and Sheol into the realm of the dead. But Christian, you need to know this morning, if you are a Christian, if you have cast yourself on the Lord Jesus Christ, that Jesus died for you. That Jesus died for you, and you've heard me say this again and again, Jesus died for you, but he died with you. When he died, you died with him. That's what Paul says in Romans 6. He said, we died with Christ. We were baptized into his death. We were buried with him. We were united with him in his death. Jesus died for you. Jesus was buried for you, but he died with you, and you were buried with him. And yet, that's not good enough. He died for you and with you. He was buried for you and with you. But that's not good enough. If you're united to Christ by faith, yes, his death is your death for your sin. But if he's still dead, then you're still dead. If he didn't rise from the dead, then how are you going to rise from the dead? If he didn't rise, you won't rise either. Paul says, if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you're still in your sins. And those people whom you love, that died in Christ, they've perished. If Jesus didn't rise, brothers and sisters, go home. But what happened? We come into Genesis at John chapter 20, and we see that Jesus rose again from the dead. Now, if the resurrection was a hoax, then Mary Magdalene would be the last person you would choose to be up first to see Jesus. First of all, she was a woman. Now, we believe, and the Bible teaches, that women are equal in value and worth and dignity. But back then, in that culture, women were second-class citizens. Not only was Mary a woman, but she used to be demon-possessed. Surely there were still people that looked at Mary and thought, yes, she was the one that used to be demon-possessed. If this was a hoax, you would not choose Mary Magdalene. But here she is. She's up at the crack of dawn on Sunday morning to see Jesus. She's eager to see him. She knows about her sins forgiven. She knows what Jesus has done for her and dying for her, and she loves him for it. And here she comes. She comes on this Sunday morning, and she sees that the stone has been moved. And she panics, verse 2, and she weeps. Three times in this passage, she weeps. And she goes and she gets Peter and John, and Peter and John run to the tomb. And John gets there first, but he waits, and then Peter comes and he goes down into the tomb. And John believes, and they go home, and there's Mary Magdalene, and she's still weeping. And look what we read, verse 12. Look at verse 12. And she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Brothers and sisters, this happened. Jesus rose from the dead. We shouldn't be surprised that this happened. Jesus told them three times that he was going to die and rise again. Even before that, Jesus had rose Lazarus from the dead. Even before that, 1,000 years ago, we read in Psalm 16 that he would not see let his Holy One see corruption. 800 years ago in Isaiah 25 and Isaiah 26, we were told that the Messiah would rise from the dead. Hosea chapter 6, verse 2, we have there even the fact that Jesus would rise on the third day typified. We see it in Jonah's resurrection from the fish. We see it in Hezekiah raising again on the third day. This isn't a surprise that Jesus has risen from the dead. That the Father would raise him up, that Jesus would raise himself up, that the Holy Spirit would raise Jesus from the dead. And Jesus appears to Mary, and then to the 10, and then next Sunday he appears to Thomas, and then for 40 days he goes around teaching, and Paul says, at one time he appeared to 500 people, go and ask them, they're still alive. Jesus has risen, and the disciples, all 11 of them, were willing to attest to the resurrection of Jesus Christ by their own blood and death. Jesus is risen. But so what? So what if Jesus is risen? What did Jesus actually accomplish? Well, he accomplished lots of things. The resurrection testified to the fact that Jesus is God, that he has the authority of God. You've heard me say before that Jesus is either God or he's a fraud. He's not a good man. He's either the God man or he's the fraud man. And the resurrection proves that he is the God man. Not only that, the resurrection was necessary for Jesus to send the Holy Spirit, for Jesus to continue to intercede for us. But more than that, the resurrection was necessary for our salvation. It was necessary for our salvation. Now, there's two parts to that. Paul in Romans 4 said that Jesus rose for our justification. He rose for our justification. The Father raising Jesus from the dead shows that he has accepted Jesus' sacrifice. That in Jesus Christ we are declared not guilty because Jesus has paid the debt and we are justified. I've used the illustration before. Imagine Thomas Simpson misbehaving. That's easy. That's easy to imagine. Thomas misbehaving. And imagine he did something really bad and his parents said, Thomas, go to your room 5 hours in your room. That's just an excuse. They didn't want to see him anyway. No, I'm joking. But they sent him to his room 5 hours, Thomas. And from nowhere, from the other side of the house, Josiah comes through. Wait a minute, Mum and Dad. I will take his place. I will take his punishment. I'll go to my room for 5 hours. Now, it's only that moment when Josiah's parents come and knock on his door and open the door and say, Josiah, you've done it. You have paid Thomas's debt. It's only that moment when Josiah emerges from his room that Thomas can know that his punishment, his debt, has been paid. And that's the resurrection. When the Father raised Jesus from the dead, he's declaring, I accept the penalty that you paid. I accept the price, your own life that you paid, now come forth. Rob's debt has been paid. Christian, your debt has been paid, and it's declared as so by the resurrection. But the other part of this is that when Jesus rose, we rose with him. When he died for us and with us. But when he arose for us and with us. We have risen because Christ arose. Were you there when he rose up from the dead? Yes. Paul says in Ephesians 1, he says, the Father raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. That's good. But the very next chapter, he said, he made us alive with Christ. And he raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places. In Christ Jesus, brothers and sisters, we are already there. So what about the squish and the grave and the lake? Can we face them? I say to you this morning that if you are a Christian, you have already risen. When Christ arose, your death is simply a doorway to more life. You are alive. Jesus says in chapter 5, he says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my words and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed," not well passed, "has passed from death to life." If you're a Christian this morning, if you've cast yourself in Christ as your Savior, then you can say that for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. The squish, the grave, the lake, no, life, life, life in Christ Jesus. We arose with him. We are seated with him. For us, death is simply more life. Yeah, I need to say to you this morning, if you're here and you won't have Christ, what of you? Well, your squish will soon be over. And then what will happen to you? The confession says that your soul is cast into hell, where you will remain in torments and utter darkness, reserved to the judgment of the great day. And then it goes on, all persons that have lived upon earth shall appear before the tribunal of Christ to give an account of their thoughts, words, and deeds, and to receive according to what they've done in the body, whether good or evil. Then shall the righteous, that is, those who are in Christ, shall go into eternal life and receive that fullness of joy and refreshing that comes from the presence of the Lord. But the wicked, who know not God and obey not the gospel of Jesus Christ, shall be cast into eternal torments and punished with everlasting destruction. Now you know. There's the squish. There's the grave. And then there's the lake. Everlasting destruction. And I'm saying to you this morning, don't be foolish. Don't be stupid. Do not reject the one who came and died and rose for those who would only reach out their beggar hand and receive Christ by faith. Why will you die? Why will you not live? Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you so much for loving us so much that you sent, indeed you gave, your only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to live that life we would not and could not, that perfect life, to die in agony on the cross in our place, and to rise again in victory, and to ascend and seat at your right hand. And we know, Father, he's coming again. And those of us who belong to him, we look forward to that day. We rejoice in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Lord, for those who perhaps even here this morning will not have him, those who perhaps even this morning will not give up their sin, those who are hardening their hearts, O God, break their hearts to pieces. Give them birth from above. Give them faith to believe in Jesus Christ and Him crucified and Him risen. Save them, O God, to the glory of your great name, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.